We are Two Guys Gaming. Hello and welcome, as always, even though we are under the Two Generations Gaming banner, this is One Guy Reading. Whether you meant to or not, you found Noob's Book Club, Noob of All Trades from Two Generations Gaming, and in this series I am reading and reacting to Ready Player One, the novel by Ernest Cline. In this episode, I will be reading the prologue, which is Chapter Zero and Chapter One. Chapter Zero, or the prologue. Jacob Marley was dead as a doornail. Oops, sorry, wrong book. But this one starts with the death of a prominent rich dude too. James Halliday, creator of an MMO that morphed into a sort of metaverse, died. Our main character and narrator takes the opportunity to wonder why, in the face of multiple global catastrophes, the news chose to focus on this dude's death so much. He both gets and delivers the answer at the same time. The eccentric old billionaire had no heirs to leave the money. As a last will and testament, he instead leaves a video to the entire world. The video, steeped in 80s nostalgia, parenthetically, because of course it is, becomes the talk of the world with its subject matter and final promise. 80s pop culture referenced in the video? Oingo Boingo's Dead Man Party? Okay, that's funny. John Hughes movies and the movie Heathers, the Atari 2600, and the video game Adventure, various vintage computer models, parenthetically, Apple IIe, Commodore 64, Atari 800XL, TRS-80, and Dungeons & Dragons. The promise of the video is that Halliday will give his fortune to the first person who can find his hidden, quote-unquote, Easter egg within the Oasis system. The hunt begins with three keys, a four-line poem, and a link to his personal webpage. A scoreboard in the style of the old video games awaits those who visit the page. And it also includes a link to a journal of his thoughts on 80s pop culture phenomena. Anorak, that's his avatar, a wizard. Almanac. Faced with the prospect of such a windfall, the entire globe initially gets involved. This causes an explosion of 80s pop culture obsession. Gradually, only a segment of the population, named Egg Hunters, or Gunters, are interested in the search. As years pass, and nobody finds anything, even most of the Gunters lose interest. The whole episode becomes a footnote in history, a joke played as one final troll by the crazy old man. Then, finally, a name appears on the scoreboard. Someone found the first key. An 18-year-old kid living in a trailer park on the outskirts of Oklahoma City. What follows is his story in his words. Level 1. Being human totally sucks most of the time. Video games are the only thing that make life bearable. Anorak's Almanac, Chapter 91, Verses 1 and 2. Chapter 1. Chapter 1, as expected, introduces us to our protagonist and quote-unquote a day in the life. He wakes up to gunfire. While not unusual, the sound still prevents him from falling back to sleep. So he keeps busy by playing old arcade games on the computer. He lives in a room under the stairs in his abusive aunt's house. Sorry, wrong book again. He lives in the laundry room of his abusive aunt's trailer. Because, in total, 15 people live there, he often sleeps at his hideout. But, too cold lately to endure, he finds himself loading up a virtual shoot-'em-up, Robotron 2048, to escape the reality of the gunfire around him. After dying in the game, he starts watching Family Ties. This allows him to contrast his own life with that of the Keatons. His parents were refugees. Both are, spoiler alert, dead. Dad shot dead while looting a grocery store. His only clue to Dad's personality are old flash drives with comics on them. Our protagonist, Wade Watts, because that's how they name comic characters' alter egos. Alliteratively, right? Peter Parker, Wade Wilson. His mom works two jobs as a telemarketer and an escort in the Oasis. So, she plugs him into that oasis at an early age, and the VR world becomes his respite from the real world. Unlike many kids in our real world, though, he uses the opportunity to expand his knowledge through study. That study opened his eyes to quote-unquote truths that adults try to hide from kids. Santa, Easter Bunny, God, all pretend, he finds out. He also gives the short version of human history and how things got so screwed up. Mostly it's what's happening now, and then you just take it to an extreme, and you have a very bleak future. He ends with some fond memories spent with his mother before divulging that she died of an overdose. That put him in residence at his aunt's house. Things looked crappy overall until the hunt for the egg began. That gave him a reason to keep going and a goal to motivate him. His aunt interrupts his family ties marathon. She, and then her piece of shit boyfriend, threaten him and take his laptop away from him to sell. He runs away to his hideout, a van that he cleaned out and converted into a shelter. Along the way, he introduces us to an older woman neighbor that he sometimes visits, Mrs. Gilmore. Once in the hideout, he charges the battery with a stationary bike, turns on the heater to get comfortable in the cold weather, logs into the Oasis, and prepares to continue his quest of searching for the egg. Now, for my reaction. Okay, I guess before I go on, I need to address the elephant that I just learned lives in this room. While reading, I texted my wife, "Is Ready Player One considered young adult?" As I think my synopsis shows, I started to get a little annoyed by the cliches in the story. While I know that some, parenthetically, maybe even most, young adult is actually very well written, authors that don't write as strongly sometimes think they can get away with it by using the label young adult. And yes, as a frustrated author myself, I considered the tactic more than once. My wife responded, "I don't know," with a question mark. I mean, I asked her because she taught 5th to 6th grade, and I thought maybe she did know. Clearly not. And so I went to my favorite, parenthetically, and I'm sure yours, search engine, Ask Jeeves. Of course, I'm joking, but I just used Google to see if Ask Jeeves even still exists. Now it looks like they changed the name to ask.com. And in further research, it's been that way for about a decade and a half, I think. Anyway, I asked Google if we thought Ready Player One was young adult. Oh boy, did the answer ever surprise me. Actually, the answer didn't. That was a simple yes. But as with most things online, this book now comes with some baggage. Apparently, ever since Gamergate, people consider the book to be in line with some of the worst aspects of that. I hesitate to call it a movement, because that bestows some purpose to it all. So, what then? Is it too obvious and immature to make the bowel movement joke? Considering the source and how full of shit the Gamergate douchebags are, I say no. So, what started as a fun idea to read this book as a change of pace from Dungeons & Dragons fantasy fiction quickly became a genuine crisis. Do I take the risk of being aligned with the worst parts of online toxicity merely because I made this decision to read this book? Admittedly, I knew none of this when I chose Ready Player One, but ignorance is not an excuse. I thought this would be a fun, dumb, quick read to keep this series alive. On the other hand, controversy generates clicks. Maybe after all this time, we finally get noticed by the algorithms because of the book. So, how much of a whore am I? Honestly, not much of one. I often wish I had no conscience so that I could mercilessly exploit the internet rage machine for financial gain. Alas, I ended up where I often do in these debates. I choose to assess each one on a case-by-case basis. With Ready Player One, as far as I can tell, the book had no actual connection to the horribleness coming out of Gamergate. Many just made that connection second or third hand due to some similarity between the themes in the book and those expressed by the Gamergate asshats. Therefore, I feel comfortable enjoying, parenthetically or not, the book for what it offers, a silly and dumb ride through a cyberspace heavily influenced by part of my childhood. Hopefully, this decision doesn't backfire. I find it funny, though, that I went from one type of nostalgia to another. The issue here is that this book tries to play off the 1980s, which I don't get. I understand the pull of nostalgia, as we've discussed before. But of all the decades I lived through, the 80s are the worst. I mean, the pop culture was, parenthetically, mostly awesome, but the rest? All I'm saying is Ronald Reagan was the devil. To the author's credit, he sticks with the pop culture as the driving force. I also got the answer to which of my children possessed the book. Aiden saw the book as I was writing this and said, "I tried reading that for English." I replied, Yeah, it's not a terrible book, but it's not great either. He confirmed. I get bored, and I really like independent reading, so I stopped. As of right now, that's where I am with the book. I like the story hook. So far, the main character doesn't annoy me too much. The old billionaire who died annoys me because he acts too much like Elon Musk for my comfort. But he's dead, so I hopefully won't have to deal with him much other than as a two-dimensional caricature in the Oasis. Who knows? Maybe that'll be enough to annoy me after a couple of encounters. Plenty of time to worry about that, if it does happen, though. As always, thanks for listening. If you haven't already, you can find us at www.twoguysgaming.net. We have articles, links to our socials, including our YouTube, and actually our webpage, I just discovered, has been shockingly not updated as much as I hoped in April. But I came up with an idea this week to catch up on the calendar series that I was doing for the YouTube, and then just pick up probably in May with May 1st on the YouTube page again. Who knows? I might record some of my catch-up sessions and upload as well, but we'll see. As far as this series goes, I think I agreed to do two shows a week, two chapters per show. So this one today, and then the other one will probably go up sometime on Tuesday. I should have some time to sit down and read and take notes tomorrow, either during the day or at soccer, and then I can record and release it on Tuesday. We're going away from Tuesday to Thursday, but the next episode after that will be on Sunday, and then I think I said Sunday and Wednesday for this one. So I will be back on Tuesday. Talk to you then. Bye, guys.
We are two guys gaming.